and may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Off the Shelf with Larry Allen of the Coalition for Government Procurement. Off the Shelf gives a voice to commercial service and product companies selling in the federal market. Larry speaks to members and government officials about procurement policy trends, innovations, and debates. Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now here's your host, Larry Allen.
We bring you people from government and industry. We have a wide variety of guests here, and we're always looking for your suggestions on who you would like to have on the show, or perhaps you have a question for my guest today, a previous guest that you've heard here, or even your humble host, myself. We do have an email address here at the station available for that, and we do like to get your comments. It is offtheshelf@federalnewsradio.com, and some upcoming shows that we have are going to be a direct response of feedback we've gotten from you. We're talking again to an industry guest today, but from a slightly different perspective. You know, lots of things do go right here in the government procurement system. It doesn't always, it's not always the case, rather, that things go wrong, things aren't done correctly. A lot of press, if you participate in the government procurement market, focuses on the things that go wrong. In reality, as you know, here on Off the Shelf, most of the time, we do focus on things that go right, or at least try to put a positive spin on things. Today, though, we're going to bring you the story about a case where I, your host, truly believe that the government is getting something wrong. It's the case of Buffalo Supply, and I have with me in the studio today Harold Jackson. Harold is the president of Buffalo Supply. We're going to get into exactly what I'm talking about over the next half hour, but in the meantime, Harold Jackson, welcome to Off the Shelf.
Thank you, Larry. I appreciate the opportunity to be here, and I wanted to thank you personally and the coalition for all you do to bring common sense to the federal procurement system.
Well, I appreciate that. We're always doing our best. We are in our 30th year in the coalition. I've been there about 20 years, remarkable considering I'm only about 28 years old overall. I'll leave you all to do the math on that. But, Harold, let's start to frame this topic for our listeners. I mentioned this is something that is a real concern, something that we've been involved in for a long time. Let's start off, though, by telling our listeners a little bit about your firm, how it got started in government contracting, and what led you all to get into the field.
Buffalo Supply is a woman-owned small business that specializes in marketing medical equipment and supplies to the federal government. In the early 1980s, our co-founder and my sister-in-law, Betty Jackson, received her Ph.D. from the University of Texas, and my brother and co-founder, Stonewall Jackson, worked for one of the largest hospital supply companies in the country. And he was participating in conversations of all the problems big corporations have in selling to the federal marketplace. So Betty and Stonewall saw the need for a small business to enter the marketplace that could give outstanding customer service, bring new products into the marketplace, and help the large companies grow their business in a more sophisticated way.
So the idea here was to fill a void in the government marketplace that wasn't being filled elsewhere.
Absolutely.
Improve some level of government service so that government could get these medical supplies in a little bit more straightforward fashion. Is that right?
That's correct.
All right, great. Now, Harold, you all have been in this government business for a good little while now. In fact, you've been fairly successful in it over the years I've seen the business grow. When is it that you first detected some trouble with your government business, particularly that with the Department of Veterans Affairs and the contracts you had with them?
Well, we had a federal supply schedule that was up for renewal in 2000, and we were going through that process when the VA Office of Inspector General in May of 2001 issued a report that was critical of the department for contracting with distributors, dealers, and a term they coined, resellers. And that was our first real flag, and GSA and others opposed the recommendation. And soon after that, the VA followed with legislation before the 107th Congress to codify their position, and the House Small Business Committee took a strong position against the recommendations, and the language was removed from the bill.
So this is stemmed from an original VA Office of Inspector General audit. Now, audits are very serious business in the world of government contracting, and usually, Harold, they are an indication of some sort of fraud, waste, and abuse, some sort of material wrongdoing, either alleged or real. Was that the case here, or was there something else afoot?
It absolutely was not the case here. We have been through four audits since 2000, and I think one of my conversations with the VA Office of Inspector General, Director of Audit Compliance, in an exit interview lays out the problem pretty well. He said, Mr. Jackson, I think Buffalo Supply is a well-run, well-managed company, but I have a philosophical problem with your business model.
So you're not violating any rules and regulations. You're not violating any laws.
That's correct.
In fact, you had an auditor tell you that you think you run your business in an above-board manner. What did you think when all of this started to develop? I mean, you're not a Washingtonian. Some of the us who live and work here may think that we're in a parallel universe where that type of thing makes sense, but how about you?
Well, I think I was naive at the time, and I believe that you could come to Washington and get a problem fixed. I was really amazed at the amount of intimidation that the VA Office of Inspector General exercises over their contracting officers and the staff. And to go to my point there, I've had one contracting officer recuse himself from reviewing my file because he wasn't being allowed to use his independent judgment. I had the following contracting officer tell me that they're sorry that they have no authority to manage my contract because that's being done at the VA Office of Inspector General.
Now, that's unusual in and of itself. I think many of our listeners here on Off the Shelf are probably smart enough to realize and are in the government acquisition field enough to realize that contracting officers are the ones in the government who get to make decisions about who can have a government contract, what type of contract, what type of pricing they have. Contracting officers sometimes are referred to as islands unto themselves. Whether or not that's true, undeniably, per statute, contracting officers are the only ones who can make a decision to bind or not bind the government to an agreement. Harold, in your case, it's not really the contracting officer that's making that call, is it?
No, it's clearly the VA Office of Inspector General that's making that call. And we understand and support the position of the VA Office of Inspector General, but we think they have a proper role, and it's not determining who should be eligible to compete based on their business model.
We did invite the VA through two separate channels to appear on the show or to give us a statement here to tell their side of the story, but both their Office of the Inspector General and Office of Acquisition declined to appear on the show or to send us a statement. We're talking this half hour about the case of Buffalo Supply here on Off the Shelf. My guest is Harold Jackson, president of that company. I'm Larry Allen, and you're listening to us on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Throughout the history of American defense, Northrop Grumman has helped give the men and women of our military an edge with innovative design. Northrop Grumman delivered the products and systems that changed the course of battles and of wars. Today, our technology makes a difference in every domain: air, land, sea, space, and cyberspace. The people of Northrop Grumman build satellites, unmanned systems, electronic systems, information technology, as well as submarines and ships. We build the systems that give our troops a moment-by-moment picture of the battle space and a critical war-fighting advantage, along with shields from enemy threats. For 70 years, wherever the American military has served, Northrop Grumman has supported our nation's and our allies' defenses with the most advanced technology. Northrop Grumman, defining the future.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf, where I am Larry Allen, president of the Coalition for Government Procurement, and your host here every Tuesday morning on Off the Shelf here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, where we bring you, the listener in industry and government, the very latest developments in the world of commercial solutions acquisition. So I mentioned at the top of the show today, we're bringing you something a little bit different here on Off the Shelf, titled The Strange Case of Buffalo Supply. This is a case where the Contracting process has maybe gotten a little bit off kilter. Some of the usual players playing untraditional roles. We heard in our last segment, for example, that our contracting officers who don't, in this case, have the final say about whether or not this specific company obtains a government contract. It is, in fact, the VA Office of the Inspector General. Now, Harold Jackson, president of Buffalo Supply, my guest today, you mentioned in our first segment that you first had an inkling that something was going south with your contracts in 2000. Here we are in 2010. Did you ever think you're going to be talking about this 10 years later?
No, I was probably very naive, but I thought that this was a problem that once we explained the benefits that small business distributors bring to the marketplace would go away. Unfortunately, that hasn't been the case.
So your company has been working on this issue for 10 years, and I want to talk a little bit about some of the things you've experienced later. But right now, let me ask you, what have been some of the most surprising developments over the last 10 years? I'm guessing you're not naive anymore.
Well, it has certainly been surprising, the hardline position that the VA Office of Inspector General has taken, despite the fact that numerous people and organizations have expressed a view on our side, including GSA, SBA, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, NFIB, and certainly the Coalition for Government Procurement, along with several Senate committees and House committees, and they appear to be thumbing their nose at everyone.
Now, in fact, your company does have contracts with GSA and other government agencies, right?
Yes, we do. We have three different GSA federal supply schedules.
So, in point of fact, warranted government contracting officers have made affirmative decisions that your company is an above-board business to do business with. So it's not a question of you being shut out of the government market because people just don't think you're appropriate. In fact, as you mentioned, lots of people think you are appropriate.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And one of the things I want to point out is this is not just a Buffalo Supply issue.
Right.
It impacts dealers and distributors across the country. Many of those were started by service-disabled veterans who want to continue to serve their government, and they're being blocked out.
Now, let me expand on that a little bit because I think that's a very good point, Harold, and that is that we have here today a small cadre of people inside the Department of Veterans Affairs that have made a policy decision that companies that are established primarily to resell product to the federal government somehow aren't companies that are worthwhile, worthy of getting a government contract. There's no basis for that in rule and regulation, though, is there?
No, there absolutely isn't. The VA IG's office has expressed an opinion that large companies will, quote, live up to their contracting obligations to the government if they remove distributors and resellers from the process, thus the government would receive lower price. The evidence has been very strong to the contrary that when we leave, there's less competition and the prices go up, not down.
So, in point of fact, if you're in the listening audience and you're starting a reseller business and your aim is to sell primarily to the VA, we don't have any commercial business, you're maybe a small disadvantage, better known business, this is a story that you need to be aware of because this tells you how much your agency, the one that's supposed to help you as a veteran, really doesn't want to do business with you because they have made a judgment call, in this case, totally outside their scope and realm of making a judgment call because this is a policy set up by the General Services Administration, that somehow your company is not worth their time. Harold, it seems improbable, although it is very real, that there are a small group of people who are essentially unchecked. You've mentioned that you've gone to Congress, you've gone elsewhere, but really, who is it that investigates the IG?
Well, to the best of my judgment, I haven't been able, after 10 years of searching, I haven't been able to find anyone.
So this continues to be a real issue for your company. In fact, you've had to recently lay off some people.
Yeah, the real shame of this is that the impact of the IG's decision has cost employees their jobs across the country. In the last 2 years, their actions have cost me 70% of my scheduled business, and it has cost me 70% of my employees. I've laid off 20 employees. Which you have to understand in a family business, you're not only laying off blood relatives, but you're also laying off those relatives that you've adopted. It's the most difficult thing I've ever had to do.
I'm sure. And as you pointed out just a couple of minutes ago, this really isn't just a Buffalo Supply issue. In fact, one of the reasons why you're still here is because you're one of the last ones left standing. IG's been successful in running off other businesses, haven't they?
That's true. I've talked to small businesses all over the country that are maybe 1, 2, 3, 4 employee companies that don't have the resources to leave their company and come to Washington and tell their story. So many of them have asked me to represent their positions.
And so those companies have either gone out of business entirely or they've gone into other modes of business that do not include the government, that lessens their economic opportunity, and it really also lessens competition in the government market, doesn't it?
That's true. And another thing I've heard from several of the small businesses is they're attempting to focus on schedules managed by GSA to get out of the realm of the VAIG.
Right, and that's another option for at least some things, although the VA does have the dominion over certain items, and specifically some of the ones we're talking about here. Again, as I mentioned at the top of the show, we did reach out to the Department of Veterans Affairs to have them tell their side of this story today on the issue that we are covering. However, both their Office of Acquisition and Office of the Inspector General declined an opportunity to comment. So we're continuing our conversation this half hour with Harold Jackson. Harold's the president of Buffalo Supply, just one of several resellers, although certainly perhaps Harold, you didn't intend this, but the poster child for the VA reseller issue and the fact that this is a company that really hasn't broken any rules and regulations, in fact, has been deemed worthy by other government contracting officers to have government contracts, yet the VA Inspector General is really indulging in what I would term constructive debarment. We're going to come back in just a second and conclude our conversation with Harold Jackson. I'm Larry Allen, and you're listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
What do successful small, medium, and large federal contractors, including two-thirds of the top 100, have in common? Membership in the Coalition for Government Procurement. Successful federal contractors know they get the information edge they need on developing acquisition trends and an effective voice to protect their interests from coalition membership. For nearly 30 years, the Coalition's been the trusted voice of industry, working with federal officials to promote common sense procurement. Know what the best know. Join the Coalition today to protect and grow your company's business. Contact the Coalition at 202-331-0975 or visit their website at thecgp.org. That's 202-331-0975 or thecgp.org. Don't be left wondering what will happen to your federal business in 2009. Contact the Coalition today.
And welcome back to Off the Shelf, where I am Larry Allen, your humble host here every Tuesday at this precise time on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, where we bring you, the listener in government and industry, the very latest in the world of commercial solutions procurement. We talk on Off the Shelf every week with leaders from government and industry about the very latest developments, whether it be acquisition policy, IT policy, national security policy, things of that nature. We welcome your feedback here. If you have an idea for a show guest, a question for my guest today, or even me, your humble host, our email address here at the station is offtheshelf@federalnewsradio.com, and we'd love to hear from you. My guest this half hour is Harold Jackson. Harold is president of the firm of Buffalo Supply. Buffalo Supply, a small family-owned reseller doing business with the government, would like to do more business with the government than they're doing today. In fact, they used to do a lot more business with the government, and that's the subject of our discussion this half hour, the strange case of Buffalo Supply, though by no means is it only this one company. Harold, when we went into that last break, I began to raise the term constructive debarment. Let's dive into that a little bit more. Talk a little bit about your business and the impact this has had. You said earlier that you've had to lay off, I think it was 70% of your employees. That intimates that you all have lost a significant amount of the dollar value of your government business. Tell us a little bit about what your estimated loss of business is over this time.
Well, just the decrease in business would be well north of $100 million. It's hard to quantify how much more business we have if I could have spent my time out in the field selling instead of in Washington, D.C., telling my story.
So it's not just the fact that you've lost business, the fact that this has hamstrung your business development efforts. And in fact, prior to some of this coming to fruition, your business was growing, wasn't it?
Yeah, we are very proud of the fact that we had 20 years of over 28% compound annual growth, and few companies can make that statement, whether they're large or small companies.
Now, in addition to the $100 million plus in business you've lost, your firm has also incurred some significant increased costs to protect and defend itself. Give us some ballpark estimate on how much your family-owned small business, Harold, has had to spend to defend yourself and protect your reputation.
Well, it's spread over so many years, I don't have a precise number, but again, my legal and political fees have been north of $1 million. And that doesn't include all the time and effort that I have spent in doing it.
And keeping United Airlines and Frontier and others in business as well.
Absolutely. I know the names of most of the flight attendants.
That's it. But sure, you'd rather be coming to Washington for different reasons, like positive ones, like business development. Now, Harold, $100 million in lost business, the subject of a decade-long focus by the Department of Veterans Affairs Office of the Inspector General. Have you all ever received a significant fine for any wrongdoings you all have undertaken?
We've not only have we never received a fine, we've never been accused of doing anything improper.
So never been fined, never been accused of anything of any impropriety, never been suspended or debarred?
Absolutely not. It is our company policy, as stated on the wall in our conference room, that we don't do anything that we wouldn't mind seeing on the front page of the newspaper.
Now, has any significant adverse action been brought against your company?
Well, the only adverse action is what I call the pocket veto.
Right.
And that is non-response from the VA. Our first renewal took over 3 years, and we're now 2 years into this one, which just destroys our business.
So, in point of fact, the term constructive debarment, for our listeners who aren't familiar with the term, actually is a real term. And I would argue, listeners, that this is a prima facie case of constructive debarment, where the government has nothing, nothing whatsoever on this firm. They've done nothing wrong. They've been investigated more ways than I think you or I would ever want to be investigated. The government doesn't have anything on them. They can't suspend or debar them because they haven't taken any improper actions. In fact, they just have to create their own opinion that this is a company that is somehow no longer worthy of doing government business, yet government contracting officers in both this agency and others believe that they are, and in the normal course of business, that's all that's required. But in this case, VA contracting officers have essentially been harassed, for lack of a stronger term, and convinced not to take any action because of the VAIG looking over their shoulder?
Yeah, that's absolutely correct, Larry. And I want to point out that we compete for task orders all the time, primarily against large businesses, and we win our share. But even when we don't win, the taxpayer wins because we have forced the other people's price down. And the IG doesn't seem to grasp the benefit of competition.
So we're driving down competition, as I mentioned in our last segment. In fact, there are several other companies like yours that have fled the government market rather than defend themselves. So we've already had reduced competition from that standpoint. And right now the government, you know, we're not even contracting officers. They're making arbitrary decisions to do business with companies who actually don't want to have their own government contracts. But let's talk a little bit about the advice you would give, Harold. After all of the stuff that you've been through and what you know now, what advice would you give to companies looking to enter the VA market today?
Well, first I would say, Larry, that despite all of our problems and complications that the IG have given us, I think it's an honor and a privilege to be able to serve our veterans and our warfighters. And I wouldn't want to deter any small businesses from taking on the fight. They need to be aware that there would be a fight. But I believe that we're right in our position, And I'm an optimist, and I believe that in the end, right will prevail. And the more people we can get saying that, the better off we all are.
All right. So despite all of that, government business still a good place to be, as long as you realize what it is you're getting into. What comes next for your firm, Harold? Where do you all go from here? Things today, you're kind of looking for your next thing. What are your new business opportunities? What's the next chapter look like?
Well, we're always looking for new companies to partner with, and we're talking to a significant number of them right now that could help us rebuild our business and make it to where I can call those 20 laid-off employees back. But it's going to require the VA Office of Inspector General to allow the contracting officers to use their independent judgment and move forward. So I think there are some bright opportunities. I don't think it's the end of the world, but clearly the taxpayers and the veterans and the small businesses will be better off when they allow the contracting officers to use their independent judgment.
Well, Harold Jackson from Buffalo Supply, I want to thank you for giving us a half hour here. Again, we did reach out to the Department of Veterans Affairs to have them tell their side of this story today on the issue that we are covering. However, both their Office of Acquisition and Office of the Inspector General declined an opportunity to comment. I want to thank you for tuning in. Join us again next week on Off the Shelf right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
You've been listening to Off the Shelf with Larry Allen of the Coalition for Government Procurement. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Off the Shelf, Tuesday mornings at 10:30, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. WFED, your source for federal news now. Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, is the home of the Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Jane Norris. Weekday mornings from 6 to 10, Tom and Jane navigate the world of the RFIs, RFPs, circulars, executive orders, and regulations for you, the federal manager and contractor, and deliver news, perspective, and analysis in plain language to make your agency and company more efficient. Tom and Jane speak to newsmakers and analysts live to get to the details on the latest mission-critical news and information. The Federal Drive is federal news from the inside up. The Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Jane Norris. Weekday mornings from 6 to 10 only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Your source for federal news now. Tired of playing catch-up with the news? Stay informed all the time with the Federal News Flash. The Federal News Flash is a daily email from Federal News Radio that will bring you the latest news and information about the federal government and the federal contracting world. Find out about exclusive stories and interviews only heard on Federal News Radio. Sign up for the Federal News Flash at federalnewsradio.com. Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, your source for federal news now. The Daily Debrief with Chris Dorobek and Amy Morris on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. The news you need for your federal career in plain language. Weekday afternoons from 3 to 7 only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.